We don't have to sing.
Let's not.
Oh, hello, gentle listener.
Welcome to Hot Drinks before...
I'm fucking drunk.
God damn it.
Hot drinks. So I'm already drunk.
Like and subscribe.
Hello.
Hello.
This is it. We're doing it.
Finally.
So, gentle listeners, this is just me, Sister Twain, and my sister, Volva.
Mm-hmm. And
you are my only sister.
That's right.
And most of our listeners have like anywhere from like 4 to 8 sisters.
Correct.
So it's probably weird to them, but you know, I only have the one. But so today is just kind of like a bonus surprise episode for you all. So much going on with the pandemic, yeah. And quarantine the unknown. And we've been wanting to have you on for a while, and we want to do a special episode where you're like the guest star and you tell your story, or you choose a topic that you want to talk about. This isn't necessarily going to be that episode. That one's still to come, and it will be with Brother Coffee. Mm-hmm. This one is more like, we've been talking about you for so long. Let's just get you on. Let's record one where we kind of talk about us growing up, our being sisters, growing up in the South, growing up Mormon in the South. And then you wanted to, later in the episode, we'll get into some thoughts that you have about everything that's going on right now.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to be here. It's time for me to show up. It's time for me to show up for you guys. And
you
here I am.
You sent me a Marco Polo yesterday or the day before, and you were like, I could be on a few where I'm just there to contribute and to kind of interject when I have thoughts, because every time I listen, I'm like, oh, I have this thought and I just want to say it. And then you ended the Marco Polo with, and then I can tell you when you guys are being really stupid.
Something like that. I can interject when you guys say something wrong.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I can correct you.
Yes, that was it. So yeah. When you say something wrong, I can interject and correct you. Yeah. So, and that's fair. That is just completely fair. Okay. So the name Sister Volva is your alias, and Brother Coffee is the one who came up with that, because whenever Brother Coffee, as a gay male who hates, anything about female anatomy, unless he's watching the vulva episode of Goop, that's what straight guys do.
It's not a name I really wanted, and I might even change it at some point.
He hears twaint mm-hmm. and immediately thinks of part of the female anatomy, when really twaint is just a word that is just a play on many different words.
And
so he was like, it just kind of stuck. So you could be,
it's okay, I'll think of one later.
Sister Volva.
Hi.
So you are my younger sister.
I am 2.5 years,
and we have well, it's 3 actually.
Not quite a full 3.
Well, it's 2 years and 10 months.
Okay.
No, like really, 2 years and 10 months.
So. All right, fine.
Okay.
What is time? Time doesn't mean anything anymore.
It sure
definitely
fucking doesn't.
Today.
It didn't in the first place.
Nope.
So, anywho, but we have a younger brother, and then it's just the 3 of us. So there's 3 siblings in our family. Yeah. And our brother, for those who have listened before, is the guy with the hot forearms.
Exactly.
Right. He doesn't know that, by the way, unless he listens and doesn't tell me.
Well,
which
he
is
asked,
very likely.
He asked me.
Oh.
When I was there recently in Oregon, he was like, what is that comment about the forearms about? And I said, well, you know, you're all muscular and you got great forearms and, you know, gay men are going to notice things like that. He's like, oh, okay.
Okay. So Sister Bulba's kind of your impression of our brother, who we will just call Gary, I guess, is somewhat accurate. But for those who haven't met him, it might sound like you're trying to portray him as kind of a dumb.
He's not. He's just a dude.
He's not
That's
at
just
all.
My dude he's voice dude. For all dudes.
That's fair. And so you and Tom, oh, not that name, Gary.
My brother Gary.
Were born in Texas, but we all three primarily grew up in Louisiana. So I was born in Louisiana. Yeah. And then we moved to Texas, and then you and Gary were born in Texas, and then we moved back to Louisiana, and that's where, like, all our family, extended family is.
Right, in the bayou.
So we're Louisiana stock, as they say.
Ew, I haven't heard that.
Just go with it, guys.
I'm going with it. Just never heard the term.
Well, you know how in Mormondom they say, my fiance comes from good pioneer stock.
Oh, right. Okay, I get it.
Doesn't it sound terrible? Like stock. Like you're buying a cattle.
Like gene pool, a barrel of gene pool stuff. Whatever.
Right. Oh, God. What was good about pioneer stock? Probably not a whole lot.
I mean, everybody was forced to be strong back then, so...
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was hiking recently. I don't know if you know this, Sister Volva, but sometimes we go off on tangents on this podcast. But yeah. I was hiking recently. Lots of snow where I was. Not much in the valley at all. We weren't really any in the Salt Lake Valley. But I was way up in the mountains hiking. Tons of snow. And it was even snowing. And I had on layers and I had on snow boots with the spikes so that I don't slip on any snow or ice. And I had a backpack with water and toilet paper and snacks and gloves and little extra things. And I had been going about 6 miles when I thought, how many of those pioneers fucking thought, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Because not only were they walking through the snow for weeks and months, but so many, how many stories have we heard about them walking barefoot through it?
The Mormon what?
Walking barefoot.
Oh,
in the snow.
I didn't hear that. I might have been not listening during that part in church.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. I've just heard that multiple
barefoot
times.
That means like you get gangrene and you got to get your toes cut off. How is that even possible?
Yeah. Oh, no. Their whole feet sometimes. Their whole feet. So anyway, back to why did I even? Oh, because we were talking about pioneer stock. And when I think of pioneer stock, I think they must have been thinking, what the fuck are we doing? Anyway. Yeah. So, Louisiana stock. So we grew up Mormon in the South, which was weird, right? Like, we were an anomaly.
Yeah. Yeah, because we were different. I mean, the schools that we went to, we only had, were there any other Mormon kids at any of the schools we went to?
The high school we went to, there were two brothers.
Oh, that. Okay, what about elementary or middle? I don't remember.
Zero in elementary. Once we got to middle, we had moved to a state other than
I don't even
Louisiana.
I mean, yeah, we were different.
There were a handful. Mm-hmm. Because middle schools, you know, so many different elementary schools feed into a middle school. But there were a handful, and we barely got to see them. And then when you did, it was weird because it was like, we know each other from church, and to see each other in a school setting was weird.
Yeah, it was like, oh yeah, we're kind of the same. We're like double tribe,
yeah,
or something.
And you would be like chummy at church on Sundays, but then you'd get to school and barely talk to each other.
Correct, that's correct.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Because
same
the two Mormon
like
brothers
when
that went to our high school, they were like jocks. And
yeah,
we didn't. Or I didn't hang out with the jocks. I was with the goth
Hell no, neither. Yeah,
the outcast.
you were super goth in high school. The black eyeliner,
so dark and
black
mysterious.
Clothes, the boots. Yeah,
I still am. I still am.
It really. Are
very,
you?
Yep. It was actually Sissy. It was that Scorpio moon, because I didn't know then. I know now. My moon is in Scorpio, and that's my dark side.
Okay.
And it's in my first house. My Scorpio moon is in my first house, which is how I present myself to the world, is your first house. So I'm not afraid to talk about the deep, dark stuff and present my deepest, darkest self to even strangers. I mean, sometimes I overshare too many weird things and people give me a weird look and walk away.
Oh, I'm that way too, but I do it. I think I do it differently.
Probably a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you, I'm trying to think of a good word here, but you're presenting personality traits are also kind of abrupt and jarring.
Okay, that's just because I'm a Leo sun.
Okay, there we go. That's
I'm
what
a,
I was going to ask.
Whatever
next.
The
okay.
fuck is on my mind? Because I'm a Leo.
Yeah, and but not just what is on your mind, but it's how you say it too.
Okay. Is it like snarky?
Did you hear what I'm saying?
Or is it witty? Or what is it? I get what you're saying, but I don't know what good word.
I'm just wondering, like,
bold. I'm bold.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like to make people think. I do.
But what I'm talking about is when you first meet people, you're not afraid to lead with that.
I'm not. Well, you know, I'm a massage therapist. I'm not afraid to admit it. I have to make people comfortable immediately. And us having a father that was in sales, he had to make people comfortable immediately. So I know how to just talk and say things to kind of make them think, hey, you can open up to me.
That's interesting, because where I was going with all this is that you can really come across as intimidating.
Oh, well,
I've known that.
Yes, I know that as well. And I think it might be part of my resting bitch face. Do you think that's a part of it?
Maybe.
Intimidating. I'm just so intense.
I was just going to ask you astrologically, but I guess with the Leo and the Scorpio stuff, that makes total sense. And there are probably so many people listening who don't even know what
I know.
We're talking about. So we in high school, you were gothy, you were dark, mysterious. Although you were in drama, and when during drama stuff, you were a little less serious. Would you say?
Oh, I could loosen up, because that was my only time, the only thing that I enjoyed about school at all. I could loosen up and just be silly, I guess. I didn't feel like I had to protect myself.
And what was I like in high school? Was I like you? You can say whatever you want.
I mean, first of all, we need to let the gentle listeners know that in high school, even though you and I were very different, you were the Molly Mormon straight A student with always had a boyfriend, the leads in the plays, and I was just kind of like a black sheep, little gothy, weird kid on the side. And that never bothered me. We never had sibling rivalry at all. And remember, during every class change, we would be like, sister, in the hallway, you know, and hug each other.
Oh,
and everyone was like, you guys are way too happy. Way too happy. You like each other way too much.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
We were very different from each other, but it just was kind of like yin and yang, you know.
I'm really glad you said the part about how the way we were so different in high school never bothered you, because like I think I've been carrying some narratives in my head all these years and have had some guilt.
The way you were?
You would comment a lot that when you would move up in a grade and get a teacher that I had had before, you would become known as like Ashley's
but that's
sister.
That didn't bother me actually, even though that was my nickname kind of in school, especially at play practice. Hey, where's Ashley's sister? And that was my name. But I didn't mind that because teachers were like, oh, you're so and so.
Because I was nice.
Oh, okay, great. And then I was instantly liked.
Oh, well, then you're
the legacy.
Welcome.
You gave me the legacy.
I did. Oh, Jesus. And we went to such a tiny high school, yeah, comparatively. I don't know about your graduating class. My graduating class.
That was probably
people.
Mine. It wasn't that much bigger. Our high school didn't blow up.
Yeah.
Like, what, 5 years after we left or something? Oh, it's,
oh, did it get bigger?
Huge now. Oh, the campus is huge.
Oh,
I mean,
that.
All of our little town is huge now. It's a different world over there.
So we went to a high school, and there's no reason to not just say the name, yep, Bixby High School in Bixby, Oklahoma, which is I wouldn't call it a suburb.
It was far. It was pretty farmy and rural-y.
But also, it bordered Tulsa, like,
right,
you and I technically lived in Tulsa, but then we would drive an eighth of a mile,
right,
and we'd be in Bixby. Yeah. But our high school is known for being the high school where
it was
filmed. What was it?
Tex
with Matt Dillon.
That was
right
back when the lockers were yellow, and we went when they were blue. And in the movie, they're yellow.
Yeah, and who knows what they are now?
Probably not blue. I don't know.
This is great.
It's good
great
content. Let's keep going with
listeners.
Good content.
Locker colors. Locker colors. Anyways, okay. And then, so church stuff. I want to, like, you and I had very different paths with the church.
We sure as hell did. And I will tell that full story on the big episode, but we can, let's do a little breve on it. The Reader's Digest version.
But the nutshell version of the Reader's Digest version. So so I was fully invested,
yes,
from very young. I was in it to,
yeah,
win,
and I was
it.
Not.
Mm-hmm. When I would watch General Conference, and when you grow up in the South or, you know, the mission field, anywhere not Mormon corridor, you would go to the Stake Center to watch General Conference. But I would watch General Conference, and I would see, like, the General Relief Society president and General Young Women's president and General Primary president, if they were asked to speak,
yeah,
big if, and think, I want to be that someday. I want to be the general president of this and speak,
oh,
at General Conference. So that's,
oh,
how,
see,
in
I didn't
it
know
I was.
You were that.
Did you?
It. On the inside. I'm sure, you know.
Yeah.
We all go through things on the inside that
but,
other people don't know about.
But were you, so let's talk like pre moving out.
Oh,
so,
moving out of our parents' house?
Elementary school.
Okay.
Yeah. Those years, did you ever feel like you were really in it? Really invested?
I actually wrote this in part of my notes for the big episode. But basically,
okay.
I always found everything about church so boring. Even when I was,
yeah,
super little. I mean, the best part about it was the making friends, the dances, the girls' camp, you know, the fun activities. You know, those were really the best parts, the friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't feeling this magical stuff that everyone was saying you're supposed to be feeling. And mm-hmm, I was so bored. Like, it didn't fill me up. And I didn't realize that then. I didn't have those kinds of words in my head at the time. But I never wanted to do anything. I never wanted to do those young women recognition things. I never...
Yeah.
Yeah, I
personal
never wanted
progress
to do any of that. And, you know, Mom really forced us to do it. And, you know, I wanted... A part of me, mm-hmm, wanted to be a better person. You know, acts of service. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do want to do good things. You know, I want to be a good person. But I just, I never wanted to say a prayer. I never wanted to give a talk. I never just, I don't know. I was just bored by the whole thing.
Was like, was the idea of like a Heavenly Father and a Jesus and a Holy Ghost real to you? Did you?
That was real to me for a while.
Subscribe to that.
For a while. I had plenty of personal prayer in my bedroom before I went to sleep.
Oh.
I don't know if that ever helped. I always fell asleep as I was praying. Always fell asleep as I was praying. I don't even remember the things I used to pray for. Yeah, but... And I never had a moment where I prayed about this the other night and here it is. You know, I never had those moments. Or I fasted about this and then
I don't know.
I was never like reaping these rewards that I was supposed to be getting. I was just felt miserable, depressed, unloved, misunderstood all the time, understimulated, which is why I got into all the dark music, Depeche Mode and Nine Inch Nails. That's where the true, like, poetry was, you know, the dark, the diving into the soul.
Yeah.
That's what was what I was needing. Diving into my own self.
I love it. When I did my personal prayers, it was usually
mine probably was too. I used to pray I would meet Martin Gore of Depeche Mode. Really, seriously.
Like and seriously mean it. Seriously,
like if I could just meet him one time and like just give him a hug. That would like
then you'd stop asking.
Because he particularly, and I think it's Martin British Gore. Genes in us. Always loved all the British music. And for some reason, Martin Gore, like, resonated with every fucking word that he said.
Speaking of resonated, you had an even greater obsession
later
with
on.
Reznor.
Well, I don't know what that was.
And you wanted... I remember you saying, I'm going to convert him. We're going to get married in the temple.
And you know what's even funnier? I married someone named Trent not too long after that.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, you fucking did. This is I'm sure this is part of your story, but let's tell the gentle listeners how you guys met.
It's not that exciting of a story, but we met online. America Online.
Just
right
I know. But wait. It's not just like, oh, we met online. It was the late 90s when you met, like, what was it, a fucking chat room?
Actually, no. I met his roommate in the barracks first in the chat room.
And that was back when, like, meeting someone online was not cool.
It was very nerdy.
It was unsafe. You're going to end up in a dumpster.
Exactly. Until I got to the military with him and discovered, oh, there's a lot of married military couples on base here that met online. A lot. Yeah.
Oh,
because they're
really?
All deployed to different places and a lot of them are nerdy and then they're like in these D&D groups online or they play video games together online and they fall in love. Yeah, it's all nerdy stuff.
Okay, let's take a little break and then come back and then we can talk about what your thoughts on the pandemic.
All right.
Okay. There she is. Hello.
And we're back.
Welcome back, folks. So,
welcome back.
Oh, I wonder how many of the gentle listeners know what that is.
They would have to be in their 40s. Their 40s or 50s.
OG Rachel would know. I should say that you are no longer married to that Trent anymore.
I am not. It's been years.
Years. You and I are divorced. Our brother was married and divorced. There was a very good chunk, a very substantial chunk of time where the three of us were all divorced. And now he's remarried.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we should also say that our brother is also no longer Mormon. And our parents are still very much Mormon.
Yeah. They're different. They're boomers. You know, they're boomers.
Yeah, they were converts.
A different time.
They were converts. They were already young, married, no kids when they converted. It was in the early-ish 70s in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And mom, I don't know about dad, but mom lost, maybe not lost some friends because she converted to Mormonism, because, you know, the South, the Bible Belt and all that. But some of her friendships weren't the same after that. I do know that for sure. Did you know that?
Not really, but I always knew mom's friendships would interchange a lot. I mean, whose doesn't? But
sure.
But I didn't know she lost people.
I don't know if it was if lost is the right word, but
started there hanging is out this, less, talking to less.
Exactly. Like but, there is this one story that she would tell often to various people. This one friend would, so Rita and Anita, do you remember hearing about Rita and Anita?
Oh, of course, all the time. Yeah.
Okay, which is funny because I think we chose.
You chose those names for somebody, yeah. For her?
I'll have to ask Brother Coffee, but yeah, it was either Rita or Anita that we chose for mom because they were these redheaded twins and mom is red, has red hair. So anyway, one of them came over to talk to her after mom got baptized. And the way mom told it was the friend walked in and said, don't you know that Mormons don't believe in Jesus?
You know, it makes you wonder, why would she say that?
Because think about the South. And especially the 70s in the South, okay?
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in Jesus, maybe you don't go to church, but if you don't believe in Jesus, most of the people around you are going to be like, well, I just don't know why they don't believe in
but
Jesus.
But Mormons do believe in Jesus.
But wait, just a sec. And then if you join a religion that is thought to not involve Jesus, then it might as well be a cult or a Satanism.
Right.
Like, literally, that is how their brains worked, if not still works to this day. But then, of course, that was the next thing mom said was, we actually do believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you did have a temple marriage with Trent and would you say that during that time was kind of maybe the real one time in your life where you were really invested in the religion?
Man, I can't even say that.
Wow.
I was coerced and fear driven.
Yeah.
And still under mind control when I was like converting him and everything. And he did it because he loved me. I mean, he really like was dedicated to me and our marriage. And that's why he joined. And I remember, I'll get to the whole story later, but the one point in the temple when we were going through that process of getting sealed in the temple, the voice over the intercom that was supposed to be God's voice or something said, thou shalt not have any sexual relations with anyone but your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that part? And it was repeated like 3 times.
Yeah. One of my theater professors did that voice.
Oh, good. I remember sitting there thinking, fuck, I don't know how I'm going to do that one. I don't know how I'm going to do that one.
That's amazing.
I don't know. I'm like, how can I fuck one person for the rest of my life? This might be too big of a thing. Too big of a commitment. I was like, I don't see this lasting. I knew it was going to go there. And I had an affair. I had a fucking affair during that marriage which I'll get to later. But I just knew then, I was like, that's not possible for me. And then after the sealing and our life went on, I didn't feel fulfilled. I didn't feel these magical feelings that I was supposed to be feeling.
Right. I know. Yeah. They never really do come.
Because they're lies.
And I think that sometimes they can come because our brain is wired to create those types of chemical reactions, synapses firing off, whatever, that then, you know, translate into an emotion. Like, it's all, you know, biochemical and physiological and that kind of thing. But so those, some of us can get there for that reason. So anyway, it wasn't long until you guys kind of like washed your hands of it.
Right. It really wasn't that much longer after that.
Yeah. I remember being really sad about that. Heart sick.
Oh yeah. Cause I left before you left. That's right.
Way, way before. Yeah. And then that was kind of during the time when our brother was on his mission. And then when he got home, he ended up getting married, not super quickly, but it didn't last very long. And then it was kind of during that he kind of like, God, I don't want to say fell away. Help me say a not Mormon phrase. He kind of detached,
tuned out, detached. Just
yeah. Yeah. Whatever it is. But anyway.
Anyway.
So, and you live alone. So before we get into your ideas on everything that's going on the planet, mm-hmm. First explain logistically what's going on with you during the pandemic and the social isolation. You live alone.
Okay. Yeah. This is what my notes are on for today.
Oh, okay. Go.
I do live alone. And, there are pros and cons to that, people. So all the people that are like in homes with a spouse, with or without kids, and if you're like, gosh, I wish I could get some space and get away from these people, you know, I'm in the opposite boat where I'm like, fuck, where is everybody? I wish someone was here with me. You know, I'm going through just different, and my Scorpio moon will take me to a really dark place if I let it.
Oh, shit.
Right. And you know, let's keep in mind that I'm an 11th house Leo. That's friends, groups, networking, society, relationships. I thrive the best with people around. This is why I massage people. I touch people for a living. And it's not just about me needing to care for others. It's my Jupiter in the 10th house. It's because when you do something good or bad, you're also doing it to yourself. So when I'm trying to heal someone, my brain doesn't know the difference. It just knows healing is going on. So I actually benefit from that as well. It's an exchange. When you're healing someone, you're loving someone, you're loving yourself. So I don't have that. I go through a different mood almost every hour of the day.
Holy shit.
Yeah, girl.
Wait, okay. Can I ask you something about that? Like, before the social isolation, how often would your moods change?
Less, because I had work, I had distractions, I had people to talk to, you know, I could go to a friend's house. And that keeps my mood stabilized, which is why I...
So tell me...
Go ahead. Which is why I need relationships, because I'm an interaction, because that keeps me stabilized, which goes into the whole mental health issue of all this stay-home self-isolation stuff, because that is just as bad as the virus, everyone. It's just as bad. You need human interaction and touch to boost your immune system, or you will get sick. Let me just explain to you 3 winters ago when I got sick. And that I may have had the corona or whatever the fuck, but 3 winters ago, I was mourning because the love of my life broke up with me and moved out. even though it was for the best, I still was mourning that so much. And then I was also on the outs of with my best friend. Her and I had this horrible, dramatic thing we went through. So I was also going through that. And third, on top of it, I decided to watch season one of The Handmaid's Tale. So I downward spiraled into the deepest depression. Then I got sick with something that I have never felt before in my life. Let me tell you what this felt like. And I was sick for about a week and a half, you know, sinus stuff, body aches, no vomiting or diarrhea, just like all the other flu symptoms without the grossness. Mm-hmm. I felt like in Harry Potter, a Dementor's over you and you feel like you'll never be happy again. I felt like I was disconnected from God. I felt like I was a ghost and I was already dead. I felt like I would never be myself again. I was terrified. And when my symptoms started to go away and I was like, I'm feeling better, I can breathe, body aches, not so much, I still felt disconnected. I still felt like I was never going to feel joy again. Until one day, I woke up one day and I was back. It was instant. I woke up and like, oh my God, I'm myself.
What?
I know. And then I was like, I'm going to go paint. And I dove into painting and I focused on moving the fuck out of that house and moving on with my life. I was like, I feel better. I'm not feeling sad anymore. I am moving on with my life. No more. I had to make a decision to not feel bad anymore. When your vibration is that low and you're in so much fear, like everyone's in right now, you will get sick. I'm telling you now.
Oh, right.
You will attract sickness. If you are in fear of everything, if you're buying into everything, and I'm not saying, I'm not saying the virus isn't scary, but you know, the regular flu is just as scary. There's more people dying of that right now. Those numbers aren't talked about.
So, right. What do you attribute that sudden change to that morning you woke up and felt like yourself again?
I don't even know, but let me tell you something even weirder that I was going to talk about. I don't know what that was about, but I spread it to a friend. And they went through the exact same thing. I spread it before I knew I had it.
Oh, my God.
They went through. It's like, God, I felt so empty inside. I'm like, I did too. Completely empty. And then, just like a month after that, you know that famous girl on the internet, Jonna Jensen? She lives in Sweden. She does the culling and the cows come to her. She's got beautiful, long, blonde hair. And she of yodels and all these. Jonna Jensen, you look her up, and she's this beautiful singer. She lives in the snow. She does some blogging. She went through the exact same thing. And she lives on the other side of the planet. All of her symptoms were exactly like mine. She said, I thought I would never do art again. I thought I would never want to sing again. I just didn't feel like myself. I felt like everything was taken from me. Like, how did she get that same thing? And like, I had that. It just really weirded me out. Which is like a whole nother rabbit hole that we're not going to go down right now. But other things about this I wanted to touch on. I know a lot of people are Exmos that are listening, or they're on their way to being one, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of ex-Mormons, I don't know really where they've gone spiritually after that to find peace. But I have gone to several things, and astrology is one of them. And if you're feeling alone right now, or like, what the fuck is going on in the world, I urge you to study astrology. It will blow your mind. It will reveal truths to you that you've always known and give you great comfort. Because let me tell you what's going on in the world right now. All this pandemic stuff and the lockdown. And I'm sure you've all probably see it all over Instagram now. But this is the Mars-Jupiter-Pluto conjunction That's what this is.
I have seen that.
And go ahead and research it till kingdom come, because it's going to be over. Mm-hmm. The planets always shift and move. Everything changes. But let me tell you now, don't expect that life is going to go back to normal, because it won't. Our life will not be the same. This is going to change everything. 9/11 was nothing compared to this. So get ready for a new normal. And this has definitely shown me and everyone the true colors of humanity, because we all have friends and family that are behaving differently than we've ever seen them behave before. We're doing things we never thought we'd do. I have friends that are bleaching their house. They're going nuts. And I have friends that are still running around and going wherever they want, and they don't care. I've seen all the different spectrums. And I've never seen anyone so divided, a planet so divided. We're all experiencing this trauma at the same time. And all people are doing is staying at home and arguing on the internet. Everybody's a doctor. Everybody's got an opinion. There's 50 different conspiracy theories out there. I'm only going to tell you one thing, is that please don't take the regular mainstream news at face value. Please don't. All you ex-Mormons out there that decided to research the church and dig into the truth to find out what the fuck was going on, I implore you to not stop there. Don't stop just with the church. Keep going. Now's your time to be at home and dive into all the rabbit holes on this planet. Now's the time to continue the research outside of the church, because the world is not what you think it is.
And so, but I bet a lot of them are thinking right now, including myself, like, well, where do I start, and what are you referring to?
That's I could put together a list of links. Right now, the most important thing I think people should start with is 5G and the effects of it. That is the most toxic thing happening on this planet right now, because this year in 2020, the entire planet, by the end of this year, will all be 5G. It's not good, guys. It's damaging our health. This is not good.
And explain how
electromagnetic fields, microwave pulses, your cell phone, all these big, tall, funky looking cell phone towers popping up everywhere. All these Wi-Fi routers, more satellites up in the ionosphere, stronger internet, you know, like, this is not good for our bodies.
And explain why, just in a sentence, why does that stuff affect us as human beings?
It's unnatural.
Because we're
electrical as well. Our hearts are electrical.
We're electrical. Yeah.
And these 5G is poison. And when you poison cells, that's how viruses are made. And this is also radiation. You know, you ever hold your phone for so long and you feel like your hand is like vibrating and tingling, and you kind of, you get kind of sick and nauseous staring at it for a while, and you need to put it down. This is bad. I don't have everything I've ever read on the top of my head, so I just implore everyone to look up the effects of 5G and how it's going to affect the rest of the planet and for the rest of our lives to come, and how it's not good. And there's ways to protect from it the best you can, but I mean, you know, technology's here. And we all signed up for this story. We all signed up to be here during this timeline on the planet.
Interesting. Have there been similar global situations like this?
What do you mean? Like quarantine?
Where something has changed in technology, and it's had
a massive effect on I think I showed you that link where, you know, when electricity just began, that was the early 1900s. And then 1918 is when the Spanish influenza began. And then a man wrote back then how he 100 years ago, how he believed it was the electricity that was making people sick. Because when you poison a cell, a virus is created.
Right.
Well, shit.
Well, shit. So what's your advice? I mean, as individuals, what can we do to stay healthy or protect ourselves or what have you?
Everyone should be taking 5 grams of vitamin C every day. Like, everybody's in fear. Nobody wants to get sick. Everybody's bitching about stay at home. Then I hope everyone's got their, you know, vitamin C on hand and all their other arsenal, and they're drinking your tea and you're not drowning yourself in alcohol and eating a bunch of sugar, because that's just going to make you sick. That's a great way to attract a virus. If you get the slightest little hint of a cough or sniff, start taking like a fuck ton of vitamin C, like up to 10 grams an hour. There's ways to protect yourself from all this. And don't live in fear. Don't watch the damn news. Don't even look at the numbers, because we don't even know if those numbers are true, guys. We don't even know. They've shown us a graph. It must be the truth. You know, come on.
Exactly. And what do the graphs mean when there aren't enough tests anyway?
And like, why do we need to know who's positive? I mean, if you're anyway, I don't even want to get into that, but. It's funny, I saw a meme like, we're all them white girls with crystals, and why are we going through this right now? Use them crystals. boost the immune system. Stay out of fear. Honestly, you know, if everybody's into Abraham Hicks and law of attraction shit, we all attracted this as a human species. And you are in control of your immediate reality. Please remember that, your immediate reality. And if you choose fear, fear is going to emanate and vibrate out of you, and other people are going to feel that. If you choose love and
so our thoughts and emotions.
What was the other thing that I was going to say that was super important?
So while you're looking up the other thing you were going to say, I want to ask once really quick, because I know there's some listeners going to be wondering about this. But when you mentioned what happened to you 3 years ago, your dark place, and you said you felt disconnected from God. So do you believe
there's a divine source, a divine energy source, divine spirit?
But not necessarily a God that looks like a dude or.
God is all encompassing of everything. It's the collective consciousness. And I also think, you know, it's that when all these people come back with the near death experiences, it's the light. When people are surrounded by this beautiful sunlight, but they're not burning, it's ultimate love. Ultimate love and creation is what God is. It's neither male nor female. It's just everything. And we're just tiny little pieces of it. We can't, even though I felt disconnected, I wasn't. It's impossible for anyone to be disconnected. If you are a human, you are connected. Everything's a part of everything. If you're a rock, you're connected to everything. So yeah, I didn't feel my divinity. I felt like nothing. I almost felt like I did back when I used to do drugs in the 90s and I was coming down from speed after 5 days, and like all your serotonin and dopamine is just gone. That's kind of what it is. If people understand what a come down is,
that sounds awful. After
ecstasy and all your dopamine is gone, that's kind of what it feels like. Yeah. Jesus
Christ. Crazy. Okay, so We need to be taking vitamin C, a fuck ton of it, and then we need to not do the fear thing. How does one not do the fear thing? You just you control your thoughts and your feelings. You do things that delight you.
Yeah, and I would really stay off. You know, we're all forced to go inside and be on our phones. I would try to stay off the phones. If the sun is ever shining, please go outside and get some vitamin D, because vitamin D and C work really well together. The sun, I believe, is one of the most healing things. I mean, we would all die without it. And the flu doesn't seem to spread in the summer, so maybe this thing won't spread in the heat of the summer either, you know?
You're talking energetically, like this is, are you talking energetically or because of vitamin
D? Both. Yeah. Because the sun has, you know, keeps everything alive. And
so what are you, so you live alone and your moods are changing by the hour. What are you doing to, I don't want to say stay positive because it's so taboo to say that now.
I just have to.
But you get my drift.
I'll go bake something, or I'll take an Epsom salt bath, or I do a lot of stretching and self-adjusting. I'll go outside for a minute. Of course, I'm smoking pot all the time. I went ahead. I did my coping thing. Everyone can have a coping mechanism, whatever it is that you need. I'm not shaming anybody. I bought some tobacco, some of my favorite rolling tobacco, and I've been having some what I call stress cigarettes, and that has really been helping. And I've been
There you go.
Here's what's been helping. So like so smoking tobacco and eating a fuck ton of Nutella are the things that I'm doing now that I'm not ashamed of because we're in quarantine and that makes it okay. Since I'm not really seeing anybody right now, I just decided that it was okay to exchange some hot videos with a certain someone, and that has been helping a lot, you guys. Just want to say, if you can FaceTime sex with somebody or send some hot videos back and forth, some pictures, no harm, no foul. No harm, no foul. It's not real sex. Emotions aren't involved. Nobody's touching each other. Highly supported. And that's another thing, because, you know, you were posting about masturbation, right? That's self-love, self-care, all that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've talked on here before about sex magic and how when you are in sexual arousal, but especially in an orgasmic state, you're really in your highest vibration, and your highest connection to source, or the universe, or joy, or love, or, you know, whatever word you want to use.
From that state.
Yes. Especially if you have clear and specific intention. It's okay to like have a general intention, just health, safety, whatever. But if you're in a place where you feel confident in setting an intention about something specific, and then you do some sex magic,
write it
about
down.
It,
then I suggest writing
it's really
it down
powerful
on a piece of paper. On a piece of paper, and like I said again, study astrology, because the power of the planets. You can the whole idea behind astrology is work with the energy that is there. So like, let's say, I mean, we just had a moon in Gemini. If you're a Gemini, that's going to be a particularly emotional day for you, maybe good or bad or however it falls in your chart. But we're in Aries right now. So all the Aries are feeling extra strong or extra potent, you know, things like this. This Mars-Jupiter-Pluto conjunction, even though my astrologer calls it the shit show, 2 months ago, before all this went down, she was like, you guys, get ready for the shit show. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, Mars, oh, wow. Jupiter, and Pluto are about to conjunct in Capricorn, and shit's about to go down. And I'm like, okay. And look at us now. Look at this shit.
Yeah, wow, wow.
So,
so when do well, they right stop now, conjuncting?
When do they stop conjuncting? She pretty much says... Things are, life is going to go back around June and July. Kind of back to like the way we're used to it. I think it's going to slowly get back to normal. Mm-hmm. It's not like the president's just going to say, okay, everybody can go back to work now. It's going to slowly, one little thing at a time, is going to kind of go back to the way things were, only in a work sense, but there's going to be, I mean, gosh, look at all these gloves and hand sanitizer. Are we going to continue to wipe things down for years to come? You know, if we see three people in a group hug, are we going to be like, hey, social distance, you know, 6 months from now? You know, how? That's what I'm worried about. What are the long-term effects of this, you know? And what about me? Like, everyone's like, stay home, stay home. Well, what about my mental health? What about me needing interaction so that I don't kill myself? Is my 41-year-old life more valuable than 85-year-old grandma's who might get the corona? I mean, what about millions of other people that like are desperate to get out and work because that's just their A-type personality and they have to get out and work or they'll go fucking crazy? I'm worried about people getting depressed.
Yeah.
Drinking more. You know, and this fear building up inside of them and turning into cancer or something. This is going to have long-term effects. It's not just about the virus. It is about the economy. It's about energy. And we have to understand that energy affects our health. We have to realize that.
That's probably the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on everything that's going on in the world?
No, but I would like to say a few things, and I kind of want like the gentle listeners to kind of repeat after me type deal.
Okay.
Just as like my final message. Okay.
Okay.
I am not available for any kind of virus. I am healthy and strong, and I can tell my body what I need it to do. I do not comply as a participant in any kind of war. I create my immediate reality, and I focus on peace, love, and compassion for myself and others, and that will extend all around me. That's all I have to say. I will say it again.
Can you say those again?
I am not available for any kind of virus. I am healthy and strong, and I can tell my body what I need it to do. I do not comply as a participant in any kind of war. I create my immediate reality. And when I focus on peace, love, and compassion for myself and others, it will extend all around me. This is a time for us to be doing mass meditations right now. Not free will shaming people for going to the fucking park. Not screaming at people on Facebook to stay home. We need to be meditating together. We need to be focusing on the future, what we want our lives to look like when the curve is flattened. We need to be focused on the future and not all this fear-based shit. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. I love it. Thank you. Name of Jesus Christ, amen! Everybody, this was a bonus.
Corona bonus.
Episode. We'll call it a Corona bonus.
Corona bonus.
Or Corona boner. Because then you get the corona, you get the bonus, and you get a hard dick, and all three.
We had to say dick. We didn't say dick in the episode, but we did now.
And
We did it.
We made it. We made it. We made it happen. We did it. So you have now officially met Sister Vulva, and we'll have her on as a special guest when Brother Coffee and I can actually sit in the same room again and record together.
Oh, I thought and we were going to do it next week.
That probably won't be till July, yeah, I guess.
Three of us over the phone. Is that not a thing?
Oh, but we don't know if that will work with technology yet. Okay. It probably will, but we'll really
the listeners will get what they get then.
They get what they get, and they won't
love
throw
you.
It. All right.
Goodbye,
thank
gentle
you,
listeners.
I love you.